Hey, hallelujah. So I just kind of vent for a second. Can I vent for a second? Be careful. Like, I was just watching something on YouTube, and there was these people, they were just picking on another ministry and that ministry. It makes me, my heart just... Listen, there's other people doing, but that person might be doing something themselves, whatever. You know, and we begin to pick on people, pick on one another. It becomes dangerous, man. It really does. You know, because remember this. Other people might not be where you are. And what that is when you project your faith, it'd be like me standing here. I've been serving God for 30 years. 4 years. Yeah. And projecting my faith. I better be farther than whoever, someone here that hasn't been serving God very long. I better be. So by me projecting that faith on somebody else, that's heavy, man. That's too heavy. It's too heavy. That's heavy. Because you know what? Not other people are where I should be or where you should be. They're not there. So if I begin to project that to somebody else, they'll say, I can never reach that. I can never get there. I can't be there. Jesus, you know what he did? He met them where they were. He met them where they were. He revealed the Father. He just didn't tell them. No. He revealed the Father. This is what the Father is. Loved. I'm going to tell you something. You know what the greatest gift is? I was thinking about this with Renee when she was talking about get time. The most valuable thing you have in your life is time. This moment you have here tonight you gave to God can never get it back. You gave it to God. The most valuable thing that you have is your attention that you give. When you give your attention to something, it's gone. You gave it. Valuable. No money can buy it back for you. So when you give somebody your attention, whether it's God or just your neighbor, I promise you, and I want you to remember this, that it's valuable. Valuable. That you gave your attention. Sometimes we've got to focus on, sometimes we've got to see that. And the other thing and the reason why I brought that up, because they were just debating about dancing before the Lord. Well, scripturally, it really wasn't correct for them, really. David really wasn't dancing. That's really not a scripture, be dancing. Let me tell you something. I was delivered from drugs. I was delivered out of darkness. There's a dance within me. Hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? That I will spin about wildly. I could show you the scripture in the Bible where we talk about Jesus, where it said that he danced. But how that the scripture, I have to look it up. I have to find the exact scripture. But it was actually spun about wildly. So, I mean, like, so I don't know. I mean, so listen, so what? If you don't want to dance, don't dance. Don't project your faith, whatever that might be, on someone else. That they come in and you tell them, hey, you better not dance. You know why? See, when you begin to get focused on so many do's and don'ts, just focus on what we believe in. That's big enough. Don't worry about what we don't believe. Just believe, but start following what you do believe. And you begin to follow about Jesus and begin to believe in Him, He'll take care of the rest. I promise you. I've been serving God 34 years. I promise you. When my focus is on Him, those other things aren't important. Like there's so many things. Oh, if you have a tattoo, or if you have piercings, if you have makeup on, if you have a dress. My grandmother lived with her hair in a bun because somebody said that was the righteous thing to do. She never let her hair down. most beautiful hair. 90 years old, and her hair was long and blonde. It was like white from the blonde, but it was blonde. She would comb her hair, and I'd comb her hair. I remember just combing her hair. And thinking about how beautiful it was. Amen? And but she put it in a bun because someone... I remember her wearing a dress. She never wore pants, ever. Because if you wore pants, you were going to go to hell. I'm telling you, they preached that. Because it was always about what you look like on the outside. They took some scriptures and they took them out of context. You got to be careful. Literally, you weren't allowed to drink Pepsi bottles because they were shaped like a woman. The glass bottles. You weren't allowed to go to movies. You weren't allowed to dance at a dance. You weren't less than that. There were so many things that you weren't allowed to do that I didn't know what we believed in. I know what we don't believe. I'm not sure about what we believe. I'm not saying there aren't some things that are true, but I'm not that. But what I'm saying is, I remember my grandmother was having a breakdown because the preacher was coming and her TV was in the living room. And I finally got there in time to take the TV and put it in the closet. Grandma, I thought you were supposed to pray in your closet, not put your TV in there. I love my grandma, but my grandma took. I just wanted to say it was about holiness. It was about that. It was the way you looked that made you holy. It was how you looked that people seen you. That if this or that, or if you had too long earrings, they used to call them head levelers. I tell my wife, listen, nails, do whatever she wants to do to look. She looks beautiful as it is, but if you got to put a coat of paint on the barn? No, I'm not. I'm just. If you got to paint the house now and then, you got to paint the house. Right? Yeah. Yeah, Dale's wife owns the body shop. All right, let's get going. Hallelujah. All right, one more thing. This is one of the. It's about healing. And this is what I want, and I will debate anybody till I'm blue in the face. I know that sometimes healings don't come the way we think they do, or sometimes you're dealing with something physically. But I know what God's Word says about healing. I know what God, that healing is, that healing is the children's bread, and by your stripes we were healed, And we're supposed to declare. We're supposed to be in covenant with what God says. Now I know the Bible says that He says that sickness is a spirit of infirmity. And sometimes we do experience these infirmities, but it's not coming in agreement with them. Sometimes there's moments in our lives where that we might have an infirmity or things in our lives that we're not in agreement with, but we might have to go through some things with that thing. But God's still God. If I didn't get my healing, or if I don't, He's still my healer. Come on, sometimes I don't have peace. Does it mean God's not the God of peace? He's still the God of peace. If sometimes I don't have a full bank account, is He still the provider? So my thing is understanding it. And so Jesus dealt with this to begin with. He said, listen, when Kelly said it, I cannot believe that you told him to pick up his bed and go home. Or you said you'd be forgiven of his sins. But Jesus said, he dealt with, I want you to know that Jesus, by his stripes, we were healed. Okay? And through his blood, I'm forgiven. So he dealt with both of them, sickness. And sickness of our body, and also the sickness of sin. sin. He dealt with them both. And he spoke to them the same way. He said, arise, go home. Boy, that angered people. Amen. See, the enemy does not want you to get your victory. All right, let's get going. All right, I changed my sermon. This was the first sermon was called. I just changed it on my way here. So, the first sermon I had for next week is going to be called the True Gift of Christmas. I hope it blesses you because, and there's some things in the scripture that I have learned that I haven't seen 34 years. I've learned something. I want to keep learning. About how that, it's good, ain't it? And about the birth of Christ and the significance of things that took place at that moment. Sometimes we always focus about the cross, but there's something significant that took place when he was born that prophetically declares some things for you and for me that we could walk in. And I pray that it'll cause you to experience the greatest Christmas you've ever had. Come on, amen. Because when you come into the reality of what he did for you at Christmas, I tell people, say to me, it says, well, you know, some people say, well, you celebrate the Sabbath on Saturday, Sunday. I celebrate the Sabbath every day. Because I don't celebrate a day. I do not celebrate a day. I celebrate a person. His name is Jesus. He is the Sabbath day. I can have rest because of him. I don't serve a day. Jesus fulfilled that. And now I serve him. He's the one that gives me rest. Not a day. Same thing with Christmas. I don't get offended. People have this and that. They celebrate. I celebrate Christmas every single day. When you see what I'm going to share with you next week, you'll say, wow, Dad, we celebrate that every day. I celebrate Easter every day. I celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. When I get up in the morning and I walk in his power and I overcome temptation by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony, I overcome things. So I celebrate Jesus every day. 365 days. Come on, every single day, every minute, come on. The enemy wants you to just focus on a day. Yeah. All right, so let's get going. Let's get going. Amen. Let me just get this real quick. I just want to give you, sometimes I like to do a checkup that we got to make sure get things lined up, okay? We got to get things lined up in our hearts. And sometimes we got to get our prayer life lined up with God. Sometimes we got to bring some of these things into remembrance. Sometimes we got to bring these things, get our attention, because sometimes things distract us. Come on, amen. So I want you to hear this tonight, I just want you to take hold of it. Let's look at Mark 5. I just want to give you a few scriptures. Is this all right? Come on. Mark 5:25. It says this. It says, I don't know what it says. I can't find it. That's Matthew. No wonder. I was like, that doesn't look right. Just go with me here. Okay, he says, yeah. He says, and a certain woman which had an issue, say issue. Listen, I want you to know the only way to solve your issues, tell your neighbor, the only way to solve your issues is Jesus. Listen, I want you to get this. She finally got a hold of it, you know. Doctors are good. I went to see a doctor today. You got to do some maintenance, do whatever you got to do. But listen, I want you to know that our issues, especially the inward issues, things our hearts are dealt with Jesus. Come on, amen. It was with Jesus. So she had some issues that she dealt with for 12 years, and she finally came to the end. And it says, and it had suffered many things of physicians and had spent all that she had, and there was nothing but bettered. But rather grew worse, got worse. For she said, come on, I want you to get this, because here's where our heart is. I want you to say something that we got to, there's something that we have to say. And I'm talking tonight about prayer. I'm talking about where our hearts are. I'm talking about worship. I want every one of us to evaluate our own selves. As a Christian, you need to take stock. You need to look and see. And sometimes when I preach, sometimes when I read the Word of God, or when you read the Word of God, you better feel some pain. Listen, you better feel a cut. Sometimes it better hurt. So what do you mean, Pastor Chris? If you don't feel me take a pin and poke you with it, there's a problem. I'm going to say it again. If you don't feel pain for me poking you, there's a deeper issue than you can imagine. So I want you to understand something. That it doesn't mean that every time I read the Word of God, it's like, oh. No. I'm talking about a feel-good cut. Like when you know in your heart it hits you deep, and you're sitting in a service and it hits you deep in your heart, and you're like, oh, man, I hear you, God. You're dealing with me right there. You're dealing with me here. Come on, that's a feel-good pain. Come on, that is that moment when you feel that. When you stop feeling that and you're not touched by the Word, and it moves you to say, oh, I got to do. Something's wrong. Say something's wrong. So I got to read it. So when I read the Word, so here she was. She said this. She says, so here's this issue. And she said, say she said. She said, I want you to get this. There's something so powerful about what you say. Your victory is about what you say. It's about what you're confessing. And she said, here's what, when she had heard of Jesus, came past behind and touched his garment. For she said, before she did it, she said in her heart, say in her heart. She said in her heart, if I just touch his garment, I will be healed. If I just touch. So she did. And when she touched him, Jesus says, who touched me? And the disciples are like, everybody touched you. No. I was touched by faith. Someone's faith in me touched me. Something moved somebody inside them that they knew. They spoke something and they said it and they reached out and touched me with what they were confessing. I want you to know, with what you confess touches God. So here's what I want you to do. This is what I want us to get to our understanding tonight. Sometimes our prayers are blocked because of some things. I want you to hear this tonight, all right? So it was what she was confessing that caused her to touch Jesus to get through. And I'm going to give you scriptures to this. Is that all right? So let's look at Mark 11, 22. I'm going to get through these because I really want to give you them all. I don't have that many. I really don't. Look. It's not many. There's a few. But there's quick ones. So 11:22. Don't distract me, Renee, or I'm not going to get through this. And Jesus answering said unto him, have faith in God. For verily, I want you to see this. And if you have your Bibles, I just really want you to underline every time you see say. So whosoever shall say. No, wait. Not a certain person, not a pastor, Chris. Not a deacon, not an elder. Whosoever. Say whosoever. Whosoever. I love that word. Whosoever. Say unto this mountain, be removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he says. Whosoever, whatsoever. Now, I want you to get this and hear this. And it's not just about naming, claim it. Well, I could just claim a Porsche. Or a bigger house. No, I'm not talking. I'm talking about this. That if our hearts are, it's a heart issue. Say it's a heart issue. It's about what you say and about what you believe. It's about your mouth and it's about your heart. It's about your mouth and it's about your heart. Your mouth and your heart has to be lined up together. Now, I want you to get this. Because if they are separated, things are going to fall to the ground. I want you to see this. Come on, amen. Listen. And they got to come together. And he said this. Can you go to the next verse? There's something else. Say something else. You got to remember this. So your heart and your mouth have to be in agreement. And I want you to see this and take a temperature, because sometimes our mouth and our heart isn't the same together. And here's how you, when the temperature rises, the pressure gets tighter, you'll find out what's in your heart. I had a friend. He didn't have much money. We were together. He had all these dreams. He says, told me all the things he was going to do. He didn't go to church with me. Told me all the things he was going to do with the money he got. As soon as he got the money, he ditched me. What was in his heart came out. So sometimes I want you to know that sometimes you say, I wish I had more money. And they always the answer, trust me. Because money will bring out what's in your heart. So, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, say, when you pray, believe that you receive them. And you shall have them. Next verse. And when you stand praying, when you're doing it, say, when I'm doing it. Forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father which is heaven may forgive you of your trespasses. You can't have a heart blockage. If you have a heart issue with somebody, it's going to block your prayers. It will sideswipe them. Now here, listen to me. Just because you might not have some unanswered prayers, don't get all frustrated. This is just evaluation, because none of us are perfect. I'm not perfect. We're not perfect. There's sometimes some issues. Sometimes this or that. But our hearts. Am I making sense? I just want you to get this. You can't let that go on. You can't let it go on. Because true believing, that believing that thing, if you cannot believe, okay, that God can work through you to forgive others and God forgives them, how can you believe that He forgives you? There's a heart issue. You might have a struggle believing that God forgave you. Because most unforgiveness, that's a root of it. That you struggle with God forgiving you. Come on. I want to help you tonight. I want you to get this because this is a victory. This is us evaluating. Amen. Don't get all nervous. Say clean heart. It affects your prayers. A clean heart. And I want you to know how many of you got some. There's some things I think I thought I forgave that person, and they'll turn around and do something. And my heart will say, They'll kick you again and you'll remind you of the pain that you had. You know what you do? Just give it back to God. Help me, Jesus. Help me. Give me the strength Let my heart be right that I don't hold them account, that I forgive it to you, Father God. That's why it means to pray without ceasing. When it comes up in your head, keep praying. Help me, God. 24/7, I'm saying, help me, Jesus. Come on, 24/7, I'm saying, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. I don't want to hold that against that person or this person. Oh, real praise the poor. Remember that guy that fell, fractured his orbital, broke his back, 12, 13 ribs broken, worked for me, fell off the scaffolding, 4 feet. He was back to work today. They said he'd never come back. And you know what I said? Every time someone said that, I said, he'll be here. Mark my words. No, he won't. He's done. He's 60-some years old. He's coming back. He's coming back. No, he's not. He's coming back. He's back. So, all right, come on. Let's get going. Amen. So, Romans 10. I just want to give you these. These are to help our heart issues. Romans 10. And it says, this is verse 6. But the righteous which is of faith, righteousness which is of faith. How do I have righteousness? It's not about, if I have faith, I do things. Listen. I do things. I forgive. Come on. Because I have faith, I do things. I walk right with God. So my righteousness is because of faith. Not because of something that I am doing. I do because of faith. All right? Let me say it this way. It's not because I have to. I want to. That's what relationship does with God. So you want to do it. That's what grace is. That's what it is. So I live by faith. He says, say not in your heart. I want you to hear this. Say. Don't say in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to say, to bring Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? This is what you say. The word is nigh. It's in your mouth. Say, it's in my mouth. And in your... the word of faith is in your mouth, is in your heart. He says, and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with your... and the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in your... so it's your mouth and your heart, okay? That God raised him from the dead, that thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So this means this. Somebody says, well, I got to get some things together before I come to God. You'll never get it together. Faith comes by hearing. It's about declaring and speaking this word of faith. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed, that there'll be no shame. For there is no difference between the Jew or the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon his name. Nobody's greater than another. Let's get that issue. If you hear a message that's saying that God loves somebody more than somebody else, for God so loved, shake off anything else. What happens is sometimes we have this religious teaching that There's a certain class of people that are better. But my scripture tells me that he left the 99 for the one. So, he says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Who then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And who shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without preaching? And how shall they preach except they be sent? How beautiful are the feet of them that the gospel of peace and brings good tidings, good news. But they have not obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. What he's saying here is, listen, they did not believe the report of the Lord. Amen? There was a heart issue. All the way through, the children of Israel struggled because there was an issue in their heart with God. They would say all the right things, but the issue was in their heart. I want you to see this. Say it's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. Faith is not right worship. Let me say it this way. People could say things, they could worship God, say all the right things, but in their heart not believe. You could come here and worship God. See, the children of Israel, they worshiped God. And as soon as the pressure hit, they worshiped idols. So they had a heart issue. Remember when Moses was on the mountain, he was gone for a little bit. They began to create a calf that they worshiped. They didn't have a problem with worship. It was with what? Because their heart was wrong. See, if your heart's right, you'll worship the right thing. And you'll worship the right way. Come on, help me tonight. Come on, I want you to get this. He says, but I say, he says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. I want you to see this and understand something, that you got to be saying the right things. You got to be saying what God has spoken, what God says. Because if not, you're saying one thing and your heart's going a different direction. So you got to get your heart lined up. And how do you get that lined up? Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. You got to get your belief system right. What you believe in. What you believe in is what God says. So my heart's got to get right by what God says. I need to begin to confess it, begin to declare it. If you read Psalms 1, it says you meditate upon the Word, speak upon the Word, take hold of the Word of God, what God says about whatever issue it might be. Whatever issue, say you have an issue with unforgiveness. Look, find scriptures in the Bible that deal with that. Get your heart right. If you're dealing with sickness, read scriptures about sickness. If you're dealing with peace, if you're whatever it is, seek the Word of God. The Bible says, seek ye first. And all these things, but seek first. So we begin to seek the Word of God, what He says about it. Amen? It's not what I say about it, it's what God says about it. Begin to agree with what God says about it in my heart and in word. Matthew 15, 7 and 8. Are you okay? Any questions? I want to spend one night with people. Just, everybody here bringing a question some night. Okay? So, you hypocrites. Well, no, this is scripture. I'm reading scripture. Isaiah prophesied of saying, this people, this is the people, this is the children of Israel. This is what he was saying to them. They draw close unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their. But the problem is their heart is far, far from me. So I just want you to see this, that our heart has to be lined up with what. How do I get my heart lined up? It's a belief issue. So my faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So I need to be believing the right things. I need to be believing what God says about things. All right? So when I feel like I have lack of faith, it's what am I believing? Is it my problem? Those things come. Don't get me wrong. I'm not projecting faith on somebody. I'm just telling you, those things come in our life. Tribulations come. Pressures come. But what do I do? Do I seek God first? Do I make sure my heart's right with God first? Amen? I can't let my mouth lead me. My heart. Amen? He says, so you agree with it. So, 1 John 3:8. I'm getting down there really quick. Now, I'm going to say some scriptures here tonight, and I really want you to, you might have to, I promise you, if you have a question, you might have a question after I say some of these things. Okay? Is that all right? Now, here it comes. Get ready. Put your seatbelt on. John 3:8. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Those are one of those scriptures you just read through real quick. Please, can I help you tonight? This is one of those scriptures. This is the word of God. This is one that will poke you. He that commits sin is of the. Now, y'all looking funny because you say, wait a minute, I've sinned. I might sin tomorrow, right? From the devil, because the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. Now, this is what we're going to get into next week. But he was manifested in the earth. This is the purpose. What was he manifested for? That he might destroy the works of the devil. And whosoever... Guess what? Say good news. Say good news. Because he says... Those that sinned that in that place, they were of the devil, but whosoever is born again. Are you born again? Did you receive Christ in your life as your Savior? Amen. You've received the seed of faith in your heart and you believe. Come on. That is called the incorruptible seed. I'm going to say it again. It's an you know what that means? It means it cannot be corrupted. That seed is in you, Dale. Now, so God is not lying when he says that whosoever it sinneth is of the devil. So I want you to know, here's what you got to understand something. But an incorruptible seed is in you. And so you got to understand that, listen, so the Spirit of God, seed of God, is in your life. We got to pull, say pull. We got to draw. We got to be led by the Spirit. Come on, amen. And by being led by the Spirit, you are not led by the lust of your flesh. Your hearing changes. You might sin, but don't stay connected to that corruptible seed that's going to die. Remember I talked to you about feeding your flesh or feeding your spirit? So we connect to that incorruptible seed. You become connected and dependent upon that seed. Does that make sense? Come on, does that make sense? It's an incorruptible seed. He says, whosoever is born of God, for his seed, seed, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. So your spirit, say my spirit, cannot sin. This does not give me a free pass to do whatever I want. Because if I do whatever I want and continue in sin, I'm of the devil. Make sense? So, come on, help me. If you have a question, please answer. Say, hey, wait a minute. Here, I got this. I'm going to give you something, too. You can look this up later, but Isaiah 53, verse 16 tells you this, that every scripture in the Bible has a mate. And let me tell you how I preach. This is how I preach, and I become accountable. I become accountable to the Word of God. It doesn't make that I might not make a mistake or say something out of place for that moment. Because I'm a person. Okay? And I'm learning. If someone says they know everything there is about the Bible, run. Unless it's Jesus. Say amen. So, but what I do is, the Bible says that there's a match. Say there's a match. To every scripture in the Bible. There's a match to that scripture. Whatever it is, there's a match. Not one script. So if you just take one scripture, if you don't find the match, don't preach it. That's always in my heart. If I can't find the match, I can't preach it. The problem is sometimes people will get that and they don't find the match and they preach it. And it's dangerous. So you got to find the match. Remember, there's, and I'll give you tons of scripture on that too. There was two that went in, how many went into the ark? They went two by, where two or three are gathered. I could just keep going all night. There's something about that, right? How can, so here we go. Here we go. So are you okay? Okay. So in this, because he is born of God, in this the children of God are manifest. So you're manifested by staying in the Spirit. As you walk in the Spirit, come on. As you abide, they that abide, they will know you're my disciples by you abiding, staying in that word, by believing. So when you stay in that place, what makes everything messed up is people live out of their flesh and say one thing in their mouth and act a different way in their heart. And everybody sees it. Am I being all right? 1 Peter 1:23. Just get that real quick, and I'm going to go to another one. Luke 6. Get that 1 Peter 1:23. Go. Who's quicker? Who's fast? Fast. Go. Lightning. Are you there, Eliza? Oh, listen. Here's the match. Read it to me, Dale. Read it. What's it say up there? There it is. All right? So here we go. So Luke 6:45, it says, and a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, a mouth speaks. Say the overflow. The overflow in your heart comes out of your mouth. So when you put pressure or you fill something up, when it gets to its limit, it over. So whatever's in your mouth, whenever the pressure gets hot, you overflow. So you say, oh, Pastor Chris, listen, here. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Every one of those has this thing, but you need to pull from the Spirit and ask for divine help, divine strength from God, and say, Father, hallelujah, I want to pull from the Spirit. I do not want to overflow from the evil, but from the heart, from your Spirit. I want your Spirit to overflow out of me. Come on, amen. He says, so that out of the mouth, it speaks. Wow. Matthew 15:10. I'm getting down here. And the child called a multitude and said to him, hear and understand. Is this it? Blah, blah, blah. Not that which goeth into your mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. And he came to disciples and said unto them, don't you know that the Pharisees were offended? Say offended. After they heard you saying that, and he said, every plant comes from a seed, which hath the Heavenly Father hath planted, shall be rooted up. He has not been planted of him, shall be rooted up. Whatever's not planted of him, it will be rooted up. That thing can't stay. Let them alone. The blind lead the blind. And he answered Peter. He says, help me with this parable. I don't understand. And he says, come on. He says, you're without understanding. He said it the nice way, I think. He says, don't not err you understand that whatsoever entereth into the mouth goeth to the belly and is cast out in the draught. Say toilet. So what you put in your mouth okay? So he says, but, say but. That's where, okay. Those things which proceed out of your mouth, what comes out of your mouth, it's not about what goes in your mouth, it's about what comes out your mouth. Come on, it's not about what goes in your mouth, it's what comes out your mouth, because what comes out your mouth comes from your heart. Does that make sense? Come on. It's what comes out. And whatever doesn't isn't lined up with God, He wants to root it out. He wants to pull it out. He wants to pluck it up. He wants to pull it out. Why? Because it will lead to destruction. And God is about you living and living abundantly. He wants to pull the weeds out. So God's patient and He'll wait for you to get your heart lined up with Him. Because He loves you. Amen? He says, so the blind shall, He says, are you also without, but those things which proceed out of your mouth come from your heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. Murders, it just didn't happen. It's something you thought about in your heart. In the center of your being, your mind, your thoughts, your emotions. He says, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Now we know that you need to eat, you know what I mean? But he's saying which defile, eternally defile me. See, these righteous ones, these ones about, they were saying about, they need to, you need, oh, don't eat this on time, don't eat this thing, don't put this. Jesus says, And that's a whole other story. Well, how about they weren't supposed to eat pork and this stuff? Okay, but this was after Jesus fulfilled the law. You can eat pork. Because a vision came to Peter, and this was the vision to him. He said, listen, whatever I call clean is clean. Before, in the children, there was a thing understood that they couldn't cook. First of all, they couldn't cook the meat at a high enough temperature at that time or whatever. So there was issues beyond that. But remember, in the Old Testament, it was about what they did, about them trying to get to God in their works. But Jesus fulfilled the law. So that, the Old Testament, the laws, were for man to come to a point to say, I can't do this. See, that's what the 40 years the children of Israel went around. You know why? Because they said, we got this. God's like, no. That's not the answer I wanted. So finally they came all the way back after 40 years, and they didn't make it through because they didn't come to the conclusion that we don't got this. Finally, Joshua and Caleb said, we can't do this. We need you. There. That's it. That's the heart I want. Because it's not about you, it's about Him. Everything's about Him. Everything. I couldn't get to God, so the incorruptible seed, the seed, Jesus, say Jesus. He was the first of many, say many. He was the first seed planted that went into the ground and died. Incorruptible seed. That now, that seed, say that seed. It's in you. The same seed that Mary said, yes, Lord. Came into her heart, Jesus, and gave birth to it. Come on, amen. So now we receive it into our hearts. Come on, amen. Woo. Good stuff. Say good stuff. I like it. James 3. James 3:2. Real quick. For many of these things offend all. If a man offend not the world, the same is perfect man and able also to bridle his tongue. What version you got there? Read that version. 3:2. Go. Read it. I want you to see this, that seed that's within you, we have a responsibility to nourish the seed, for it to grow. Say grow. To grow up. Eventually, you've got to get from milk to meat. Amen? For it to grow, to mature. That we are ultimately to mature unto the like image of Christ, the full mature image of Christ. So, for that to take place, you have to bridle your... Everybody take your tongue and stick it out. The farther you stick your tongue out, the sharper it gets. The farther you stick your tongue out, the sharper it gets. Keep your tongue in your mouth. So listen. He says, behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that it might go wherever, if it's in its mouth, the whole body will go. If it's in its mouth, it'll go wherever it's led. He says, behold, also ships which have a rudder are driven whosoever the governor wants it to go. It's driven with the tongue. Even so, the tongue is a little member, but it boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter of a little fire kindleth. Listen, here's what I mean by this. Your confession with your mouth leads to salvation. How powerful is it? Do you know that I begin to speak blessings or cursing with my mouth? You tell your kids they're dirtbags, they'll become dirtbags. If they hear it long enough, but if you say you are blessed and you're highly favored, you are a child of the Most High God. Change the direction. And whatever they do is up to them, but you're binding them with the heavens. You're binding them with God. Come into agreement with who He is. Just all you do. You just do that. You just bind them with God. Don't worry about what they're doing. Trust me, my parents quit worried about me. They let me go. Them letting me go was the worst thing that ever happened to me, but the greatest. Trust me. Listen. I gotta get through this. Behold the ships. Even so the tongue is a little member, and a tongue is like a fire. He says it defileth the whole body and setteth afire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. And every kind of beast, of bird, we can tame. They're everything. You could tame. They tame whales. But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. Say poison. It's full of deadly poison. Therefore, bless we God, even the Father, wherewith curse we men. The same mouth that I bless God with walks out of here and says, that stupid jerk. Say the same mouth. Well, bless God and then curse man. Out of the mouth proceedeth blessing or cursing. My brethren, these things not ought to be. Doth a fountain send forth the same place bitter and sweet? Can a fig tree bear olive berries and also either a vine figs? Can no fountain both yield salt and water and fresh water? This is what it's saying. Listen, listen. Either it's going to pour out one or the other. Either from the flesh or from the spirit. If we begin to let the spirit pour out of us, come on. We begin to continue, come on, like a river, say a river, flowing out of your mouth, blessing and blessing and blessing and blessing and blessing and blessing. It will eventually not know how to curse. So, just like you confess to get saved, you confess to keep moving on. You continue to keep confessing whatever that thing is you're struggling with. Say, keep confessing. Get your lip in control. Let me finish. All right. 1 Corinthians 11. Let me read this. You know what? Look at. Can you look at Proverbs 18, 6 and 8 real quick? I'll look up the other. And then you look up John 8:31. And then I'll look up 1 Corinthians 11. Tell someone you got to find the same match. It's 18, 6 and 8. You got it? Read it. Go. Wait, it deserves getting smacked, is what it's saying. So, like, if you run your mouth, you're going to get knocked out. Okay, keep going.
The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles.
A gossiper.
And they go down into the inmost body.
A whisperer. Hey, did you know? Hey, did you hear?
you hear about Liza?
Go.
Words satisfy the mind as much as fruit does the stomach. Good talk is as gratifying as a good harvest.
Good words produce good harvest. Say good words.
Good words.
All right. Liza? Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, saying the same thing, if you come into agreement, come on, with what I'm saying, then are you my disciples. Same scripture, come on, amen. That, listen, we are sons. I have a seed, I'm born again. Come on, amen. So if I begin to confess in my mouth what he's saying and agree with him, you got to stay connected to the vine. He that abideth in the vine, in the branch, stay connected. The flow, what comes out of your mouth and your heart comes out your mouth. Come on, amen. What comes in your heart, stay connected to the vine. Let it flow out of you. Come on, like a river. Like from the throne of God, a river. You know the Bible says in Revelation, it says a river coming from the throne of God. That is your heart. That is out of your heart, flowing out of your mouth. Hallelujah. Where you're blessing those people around you. You're blessing those people. So we speak healing over people. We don't accept that other thing. We declare it. Hallelujah. Blessing over there. All the way to the end. Amen? Okay, now it's my turn. And when they had given thanks, they broke the bread. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for... Help me. It's broken for you, 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 you. It's broken for who? For God so loved the world that he gave to be broken. It's not just for certain people. It's not just for church people. Listen to what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying. There's been so many churches divided because of this. Right here. I want you to get this, because sometimes it's just thinking things through. Well, if they don't believe a certain way that we believe, then they can't take communion. Let me help you. We shut more people out because we don't understand what it means. So he said this. He says, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After he said that, he had stopped. He says he took the cup. Same thing, right? What did he do? He drank in remembrance of me. So what happens is, this is the next part, the scripture. And people take this scripture and they misquote. And they don't understand there's a match to this. It says, for often as you eat and drink of this cup, do so at the Lord's death till he comes. Do this in remembrance. Listen, it's not just about the cup and the bread. It's significant symbolism. It's for you to take notice and remind yourself of what he did. To understand what the blood did for you. Understand that he is the bread of life. Come on, amen. When we begin to understand what he did for me was significant. It's not the act of me doing this. So when I commune, here's what I understand. Listen, when I first got saved, I partook of what he did. I believed in my heart. I took hold of, by faith, the blood of Jesus Christ on my life. I took hold of him into my life as my Savior. I did it by faith. He says, continue to do it by faith, believing, reminding yourself what he did. We let things disrupt us. But, therefore, wherefore, whosoever shall eat the bread and drink the cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the blood. Here's the problem. Say, here's the problem. People read the scripture and they don't go deeper. They said, if you drink this unworthily, you're going to have a problem. Listen to me. I want you to hear this. Please listen to your heart. If I don't take it, if I don't do this by faith, I cannot be holy. How can I take it? That means I used to stand in the back of the church and hide because I sinned or I might have made a mistake and I said, I'm not worthy. I literally would hide. After I was saved, because I would thought, man, I've made a mistake. Come on, help me tonight. Come on. And I remember them saying, if you take this unworthily, I came to a conclusion. Wait a minute. If I don't take it, I can't be worthy. So by taking it, I become worthy. By faith. It's not just that doing it by... Am I making sense? So it's doing it by faith. So here's what he says. So it's that. What made you worthy? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony, I overcome. It's what he did for me at the cross. It's the death, burial, and resurrection that saves me and set me free. Okay? I cannot become worthy, come in, and then I take communion. It is, listen, if people take it, or if they say people come in and they're not a member of this church, or people need to understand what they're doing. Don't get me wrong. Come on. We don't just blatantly just take, well, what, isn't it a big deal? No, no. It's holy. Come on, it's holy sacrament. But yet, we've got to understand there's something serious. They that take it, so does that make sense? He says, so for he that eateth and drinketh unworthy, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That word discerning means that they don't know what Christ's body did for them. If you take this and don't realize that you're worthy, that's the problem. When you begin to take it and not realize what it did for you, if you're just taking it, or people, you know what I mean, if we loosely don't take hold of it, it's whenever we take hold of it in our heart. We could do it with our mouth, but in my heart, when I realized what it did for me, it made me worthy. What made you worthy? The blood, the body of Christ. That's what made me worthy. So do this in remembrance to remember this is what makes you holy. What makes you holy? Jesus. Jesus. Come on, amen. Jesus. It's his blood. Hallelujah. It's powerful that we can recognize that and take hold of it for my life, that I can walk in power. That I'm worthy. Say I'm worthy. I'm worthy because of the incorruptible seed that's in me. Because of what he did for me. You okay? All right. He says, for this cause many are weak, sickly among you, and many sleep. Because they don't know what he did for you. They sleep. They're asleep to what God did. Be awake and be alive to what God's done. Be alive. Say, I'm alive. Take hold of it. Walk in it. Amen? Any questions? Does that make sense? Come on, anybody got a question? Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Don't walk out of here and say, don't go out of here thinking you think you thought what I said was what I said. Make sure you know what I said. We got to understand that, know that. Yeah, yeah.
So how do you address a person that they're really stuck on, they're stuck in this legalistic thing? What's the best way for you to address
it? This is the greatest way for you to understand. This is the beginner course. 1 Corinthians 13. Right here. It begins to let me see what him, what he looks like. Patient, long-suffering, gentle, kind. Does not brag. Does not boast. Does not rejoice. Say it again. Does not rejoice in that thing in you that you failed in. but he rejoices in the truth. And the truth is, it's what he did for you. I want you to hear this really quick and I'm done. Jesus sees the incorruptible seed in you. That's the seed he sees. When he took away your sin, he took it away. We have a really perverted thought pattern in our mind. He took it away. That's why people are sleeping and are dead to God, because they don't realize what he did for them. They're just like the disciples when they're walking, and they were walking after Jesus rose from the dead, and they're walking. Come on, amen. Remember how they're walking on the road to Emmaus? They're walking, and Jesus shows up to them, and he's going through his stuff, and they couldn't believe, what do you mean? And I said, what things? Say, what things? And they couldn't answer what things he did for them. They couldn't answer. Jesus says, let me tell you what I did for you. And he began to walk with them. That's the Father. Talk with them. Speak to the seed within them that he just rose, put in their heart. And when they got to the end, they sat down and he took the bread. And he broke the bread and he gave it to them, and their eyes were open. They became awake to how they became worthy. Amen? Would you stand your feet? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. He said, yeah, right, because he was trying to get up. We thank you for your word. Yeah, right. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And God, Lord, I ask the God, Lord, that, Lord, that seed that we, God, Lord, that we draw from the incorruptible. That we draw from the incorruptible seed that's within us because we're believers. And I pray to God, Lord, as we continue to believe, hallelujah, to God, Lord, that our walk and our worship changes. It changes. I get greater worship. My prayers change. I give you glory and praise. Amen.